forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a big plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's Mike and Kylan. Eric's, I guess, on assignment. I guess being Fury's chosen one this week.
Maybe one being the newbie, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard to tell with Fury what's going on. So, interesting times this week. We had on Monday, the Ant-Man premiere, and we got some sound bites from that. We're going to talk a little Secret Wars and the leaks of some of the covers from the 45 titles. We were talking about this over on Weeby Geeks. Is it 45? Is it 27? Is it 55? Don't know. It's insane. Absolutely insane. So...
Yeah, I think the number has changed like about three times in the past week alone.
Yeah, and then we also have some bragging rights this week as well that we'll get to on the second half.
Yep.
And so part one is done. We just need to get going with part two. So, so I guess to start off...
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
And yes, that would be some Ant-Man premiere stuff. Like I said, it was on Monday night. I think you'd go back to Marvel.com and watch all the stuff as well. But we got some audio bites from the red carpet, courtesy of Marvel. So, let's start right off with Pym himself, Mr. Michael Douglas.
This is new for me. I'm a virgin. I've never done one of these big, huge pictures before. And look at this, taking over Hollywood Boulevard. This is cool. You know, when they first approached me, and I've never done one of these before, never done an effects movie, and I thought, wow, this would be really cool. And of course, the cool factor, as far as my kids were concerned, it scored me a lot of points. But the whole experience, the whole production, all the way down, the Marvel team, Peyton Reed, the director, did a spectacular job. Paul Rudd, Evangeline, Lily, Corey Soule, everybody. Michael Pena. So it's those nice experiences where the script worked. Everybody was on full tilt, and it felt good when we were doing it. I think, you know, it's a heist film, but I think there's a charm and a humor that's probably a little lighter, a little fuzzy, a little warmer, and a lot more funny than some of the other Marvel that I've seen, a little darker. And everybody seems to be picking up on that and enjoying it. The visual effects from the ants' point of view, they had four units shooting. That was the macro unit from the ants' point of view. It's spectacular. And I think with all these other films sort of getting bigger and bigger, to take it in reverse down to this small size was really impressive. They did a great job. And I'm really happy for Paul Rudd, and also because he's just vicariously enjoying every minute of it. You know, he's not putting the cool factor in there too much. He's having a ball.
It's interesting he says that, because Rudd was like one of the ones, it almost seems like in the beginning, it's like, oh, why am I doing this film? It's almost a stupid film.
Yeah, it seemed like I first heard that Paul Rudd, no, and I was like, what? You know, I didn't think that he would take material seriously. You know, that was sort of like the big question mark for me, but it's interesting to hear this response, to his presence on the set.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, hearing Michael Douglas talk about, oh, I've never done anything like this. I'm sorry, to me, Romancing the Stone, Wall Street, I mean, I thought those were big productions at the time as well, so, I mean... Okay, so you're claiming this one's not as big production? Interesting. All right, this one's bigger than everything else? Okay, cool. So, since he referred to Paul Rudd quite a bit, let me play what I've got from Paul off the red carpet, or as we like to call him around here, Mr. Rudd.
I've never done anything like this, so to be able to give it a shot has been a dream come true. It feels really strange and cool to be part of the Marvel Universe. But to put on that suit, which, by the way, I think it's the coolest looking suit of all of them, it's impossible not to feel a little bit like a superhero in that thing. I know, I think that, well, obviously, I think the shrinking down and seeing, you know, familiar areas look like alien landscapes is, you know, a huge part of the draw, and it's a lot of fun. But in addition to the crazy visuals, I think that it's funny, it's heartfelt, I think the characters are easy to get kind of caught up with and get into their storylines, so hopefully it works on every level. Yeah, I think that I just love the idea that you're watching a fight on a train. You've seen this kind of scene in many films, but then to pull back and it's on a child's toy train set is unique and a lot of fun, and that happens repeatedly throughout the film. Great fights inside of a briefcase, you know, with an iPhone flying around and keys and things like that. It's a fun world to explore. You know, I'd never worked with any kind of motion capture before. I'd never put on a suit and pretended anyone was stepping on me or I was dodging, you know, a dog or stuck in a vacuum and that kind of thing, riding an ant. But there's great satisfaction in knowing that the best people that can create this kind of stuff are working on this film.
Okay, so some motion capture with Paul. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves. You know, the Honey, I Shrunk series.
Yeah.
Now, to get another person's perspective of, you know, what they did in those movies that they're doing with Ant-Man, it's like, okay. So now it makes me almost wonder with CW and, was it Legends of Tomorrow with Adam?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they're going to do that with him as well. I only give that comparison because Ant-Man and Arrow and Adam have been compared to each other.
Yeah.
Except Adam's able to increase as well.
Right.
So, you know what? We can't go wrong without hearing from the man himself.
We have to.
I can't wait to see each new movie that comes out and the way they do them, and they have such a lot to choose from. It'll never end. It's wonderful. I can't wait to see the finished result. But when I came up with Ant-Man, everybody said, "You're crazy." I said, "Well, there's everything else. Why not a guy the size of an ant?" So we did it. Here's the result.
This is Stan Lee himself. So, hey, I'm not sure, but I would think he beat DC to the punch with the shrinking character.
I'd say yes, he did. You know, I have to admit, I never thought that Marvel would seriously consider Ant-Man as being part of the cinematic universe. And when, but then again, you know, a year ago, they made over
Guardians of the Galaxy.
And so, you know, like, okay, if you can do it with Guardians of the Galaxy, I started getting excited over Ant-Man too. And he's like one of my, not one of my favorite Avengers, but I started getting more interested in the character the closer we started getting to the movie.
Right, right. So, now, I thought too, just to, you know, for Stan Lee going, you know, there was some doubt, so to speak. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, now Evangeline Lilly also walked the carpet, and so we'll have to hear from her.
Right.
We are at the Dolby Theater, of course, and as usual, Marvel has pulled an incredible turnout of very, very excited fans, and the sun is shining, and we're going to watch a fantastic film. I've seen it. I know. The day is good. I think the fantasy aspect of being, in a superhero movie where you get to really play a caricature, like, really, really extreme. You know, you don't have to look like the person who lives next door. You don't have to act like the person who lives next door. That was really fun for me anyway. But they make such good films. And my favorite thing about what they do with their superhero stories is they're irreverent about it. You know, they don't take it too seriously.
Well, actually, they do kind of take it a little seriously, but it's cool to hear how, you know, she was having a good time with it.
Right. Well, this was I've had this conversation many times with Ken, my co-host over at Geek Watch One, and the thing that we love about Marvel is that they do take a more realistic approach in that, you know, when you're in a situation and, you know, even in day-to-day life, there is a bit of humor that's injected, you know, in a situation that, you know, from the outside looking in, there may not be humor in it, but you use that as a coping mechanism. Right. And that's something that, you know, you see it in the books, you see it even, you really see it now in the animated series. And that's something that you see through each of the movies, you know, I mean, even in Captain America, which is basically a war movie, but there still is a touch of humor there.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, I think that they do take it seriously, but it's a realistic
approach. Right. And I hear Hydra's trying to interfere with our broadcast tonight or this week. So, well, we're going to move on. Michael Pena is who we're going to play next. So we'll have to hear what he has to say.
Paul Rudd, I think, kills it in this movie. He does such a good job. And you know, it's in the Marvel universe and in the realm, but this one's like has a lot of humor and action as well. Well, first of all, like, it's a way different way of shooting. Like, they allow themselves to have like a lot of reshoot and additional shooting days. So whatever's working on the day or whatever plot line, you know, is accentuated, they'll build it up and they're not afraid to change the movie. And Marvel has been doing that for a long time. This one has a lot of heart, and I'm, you know, I'm really proud to do it, but it was really awesome working with him.
So interesting to hear his comments. You know, to me, it seems like that they're touting this as almost the Guardians of the Galaxy for a second Guardians type feel for Phase 2, now with the chuckles and the laugh.
Right.
So I'm trying to think. Is there a Ant-Man 2 scheduled?
I don't remember seeing it as far as scheduled. I think what the schedule goes up to, what, 2019?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I don't see a second Ant-Man.
That doesn't... I wonder if they have allowed room for that, or maybe that's going to be in, Phase 5?
Phase 4.
Phase 4?
Yeah, potentially. Because right now, Ant-Man is the end of Phase 2.
Okay.
And Phase 3 starts with... Civil War.
Okay.
So, well, I guess we can't wrap up the premiere conversation without hearing from Peyton Reed, the director himself.
This is great. I mean, you know, Marvel has such rabid fans. It's unbelievable. I mean, they've been lined up on the street, I think, since this morning. A couple of people said they spent the night out here, which is insane. I love it. And it's very hot today, as I don't really have to tell you. But yeah, it's amazing. Fantastic. Well, the cast that I got to work with on Ant-Man is just bonkers. I mean, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, Corey Stoll, Michael Pena. It's just a row of sharpshooters. And they're all actors who are incredibly talented actors all around, dramatically and comedically. So it was a fun set to be on. We had a lot of fun making the movie, and hopefully it comes across in the movie. I just hope that they sort of go on the ride. It's a sort of weird movie, you know? You get to sort of go on this path with Scott Lang as a pretty normal guy who's made bad decisions in his life, and he gets sucked into this whole weird Marvel world, you know? So I'm hoping that they laugh in the right places and that they're thrilled in the right places. I can't wait to see it with this audience. Well, that was one of the fun things about Ant-Man, and what I think makes it different than some of the other Marvel movies is that we got to come up with action sequences that took place in really strange places, like a bathtub or a briefcase and someone's backyard barbecue. That was really part of the fun of the movie. And doing a character like Ant-Man allows you to do that. So we sort of had this freedom to invent these very strange action sequences.
Okay, so I'm excited about this movie. That's yes. All I got to say. Originally, I was like, but the more and more I'm getting, I almost hate to say it, I'm more excited to see this than I was to see Guardians.
I'm pretty much at the same level. I'm a little bit more excited because of where at least I'm thinking they're going to take Ant-Man. So, you know, and I mean, to date, we don't know if Ant-Man figures into Civil War yet, or, you know, and that may be something that
supposedly Ant-Man has a bit part in Civil War.
Really?
That's the rumors I'm hearing.
Well, then, I'm jazzed even more now. Although, you know, I never thought of Michael Douglas as Hank Pym either.
No.
So,
But you know, with the direction they're going with Pym and the fact that Ultron is a Tony Stark creation, and to me, I'm still saying this is part of that security thing that we see during Iron Man 3 that Fury gives the case to.
Yes.
I think that was the start of the Ultron project then. I wouldn't be surprised if Pym's name is on some of that as well.
You know, it makes me want to go back. I wonder if his name is on the list in Winter Soldier. Because, you know, you got to see Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing him. Seemed like I remember, Wakanda was definitely mentioned.
Right.
And it makes me want to go back because, you know, that list was it was a flash. And, you know, a few people were mentioned. But, you know, the beauty of having it on DVD or Blu-ray is that you can pause. You know, so yeah. Now I have to go and do research.
So what ties does Marvel have, or Ant-Man have, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I bet you you might know, Kylan.
Oh, well, you know what? I just happen to have a little bit of info right here in regards to that. According to a story that was on comicbook.com, this is saying that we are definitely going to see Haley Atwell and John Slattery reprising their roles as Agent Peggy Carter and Howard Stark in a flashback scene to Hank Pym in his younger days, which gives Ant-Man an immediate connection to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Didn't we just talk about this?
Yes, we did. And, you know, the one thing that we see through every Marvel movie is S.H.I.E.L.D., which is, in essence, the glue that holds the Marvel Cinematic Universe together. And to quote Agent Coulson, is all connected.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I need to find that soundbite.
You know what? That soundbite is so apropos in pretty much every issue.
Yeah.
Let's see. It seems like that there may possibly be a connection because of Hank Pym and Howard Stark, that there may be an even bigger connection between the Pyms and the Starks. I don't know how, but the question is how deep that's going to go in the movie.
Right.
They're saying that it's possible that we will see someone approach Scott about joining the Avengers, perhaps Captain America. We do know that there's going to be two after credit scenes, so which would be a direct tie to the Avengers.
Cap and Tony?
Ooh. Well, I mean, they did end on a good note at the end of Age of Ultron. So,
right. Yeah, but
I don't know.
Who's to say that, you know, at this point in time, the Civil War has already begun afterwards? Or maybe, you know, Cap's trying to recruit him for the Avengers and Tony's trying to recruit him for another project.
Ooh, that's true.
It's like that Geico commercial. Mind blown.
So, yeah, so that's where the connections actually for a, let's just say for the sake of the movie going public out there, for a fairly new character, those of us who are Marvel fans, we know otherwise, but the connections run pretty deep for a fairly new character as far as the movie fans are concerned. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be interesting already as far as, you know, his connections go.
Well, Comic Book Resources also did something about Kevin Feige confirms that the Wasp will feature in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Awesome.
So, you know, we know Evangeline Lilly's character, Hope Van Dyne, is the daughter of the Wasp, Janet Van Dyne, and Hank Pym. But the groundwork for the super persona is there. I always mispronounce. It's Feige or Feige? I think it's Feige.
It's Feige.
Has confirmed that the shrinking woman with wings will indeed make an appearance in the MCU. At a recent press event, Feige didn't reveal if the Wasp will appear on screen when Ant-Man opens, but did tease her eventual involvement in the MCU. It's only a brief sentence, but here we go. It's slight spoiler. Reading or responding to the question about Wasp, Feige said, "We have plans for her in the future, and we will see that not so subtly in this film." Okay, now he kind of let loose lips go a little bit more as well, because Guardians of the Galaxy has a show title, an official title now.
Yeah,
it is. Wait for it, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
It's simple and elegant.
Yep.
And it's to see about of the awesome sound mix is going to be. Awesome music mix is what it is.
That's going to be awesome mix number two.
Yeah. Yes.
He's saying while on his press tour still for Ant-Man, Feige said, "We literally have just crossed the halfway mark of Civil War last week. It's day like 42 or 43 of 80. We start filming Doctor Strange in London in November. We start shooting Guardians Volume 2 in February, March. And we start filming Thor, Ragnarok, and Spider-Man around the same time, around June next year." So that makes things interesting there. Just to let it slip, oh, Volume 2. Oops.
Hey, Dad. Well, you know, that's going to be... I have to go back. I really like that, though. It's, you know, it's simple, you know. Yeah. There's nothing, there's no gravitas to it, because sometimes that, yeah, I don't know, that kind of either will make or break your anticipation for a movie, you know.
Right.
But something like that, that's simple, I like it.
Now here's something I saw on Facebook before we started recording tonight. Supposedly there's a rumor that in 2020 Marvel and Fox are going to partner back up.
What?
Again, it's rumor. The speculation behind this is insane. Let me see if I can find this, the article on Facebook. And again, we're talking Facebook, we're talking rumors.
Right.
But I thought this was an interesting thing to be said on this. All right, wait, where did it go? Let me check the post two page. So part of it is they're trying to see about getting it, I guess, partnered in time for Infinity War. And of course, I can't find the story.
So that they can include the characters from the X universe and that other movie that has four scientists in it.
You're using that term loosely.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, they're scientists in, you know, the most basic sense of it.
So here's the post. So I'm staring at a hair in my eyesight. Here's the post. Disclaimer, this is only a rumor. Don't take this as truth. Okay, and we just clarified ourselves. It's rumor. But on the rumor mill today, according to Pete's Basement's Facebook page and Instagram, Marvel and Fox are in the process of making up, and they are currently planning on bringing a movie to us by 2020. The movie would feature the Avengers and Fox X-Men. It's the only thing that could be Avengers versus X-Men, unless we're going Secret Wars.
I see Avengers versus X-Men because they would have, okay, all right, Civil War is next year. And then you got Infinity War coming up after that.
18, 19, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, at this point in time, there's going to be no Hugh Jackman.
No.
Unless he comes back and does an old man Logan.
That's true.
Which would be cool to see him do one more. You know, definitely disappear and come back a little older.
Right.
I know, it makes for an interesting thought.
It does.
So, like I said, it's a rumor, point blank. Don't read into it any more than what it is. But email us at mmg@weebiegeeks.net or hit us up on Twitter @MarvelGeeks and let us know your thoughts on this. Or even give us a call on the hotline. Jarvis will make sure it gets patched through to us at 321-219-8227. And let us know your thoughts. What would you like to see with a Marvel-Fox partnership? I think I think Marvel's going to be, or Fox is going to be hurting enough after the Fantastic flop. The only thing they're going to have going for them is X-Men. And I think Apocalypse is going to be it, and they're going to start in with X-Force and New Mutants and everything else.
Right. Well, okay, here's a crazy thought. Here, it's crazy, and I've been toying with it, and then I would throw it away, then I bring it back, but with this news, what's the possibility of us seeing an Illuminati movie?
Oh, God, please, no. I'm sorry. I thought that was one of the worst story arcs.
I agree. I just, you know, the thing is, you know, it's interesting in the sense of all of the most intelligent minds in the Marvel Universe together, but at the same time...
And see, to me, that's what kind of ruined New Avengers as well, is it had too much of an Illuminati feel.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. They might take it, they may not take it that way, but... I don't know. I'm thinking I could see Avengers versus X-Men, but that's like the outside chance. Outside, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What. The only other storyline potentially is, oh, what was the one that just happened before Secret Wars that involved the Watchers?
Oh, we were just talking about that last week.
Oh, Lord, I can't think of it now.
Yeah,
Axis could work.
That's true.
I can't think of it now.
I cannot think of that storyline. Hold on.
Without going into my books, I couldn't tell you. I want to say it begins with an I. I could be wrong on that as well.
I think it, I believe it, with the, I, it had something to do with, like, what, all the Watchers being killed but one?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. All right.
I know, I think, and this is one of those cases where I'm thinking if we asked Jarvis, he would be a little baffled.
Yeah, Jarvis is going to have it. Original Sin.
Yeah.
There we go. That's a potential possibility as well.
True.
So, bragging rights. I just got to do it. News coming from Deadline.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets major comics tie-in. Secret Warriors coming to Season 3. Did we call it or did we call it? I mean, I thought we did pretty good calling it.
You said you had already, you know, Eric and me about, and my jaw off floor for like the rest of the day because I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those. I don't know. It's next step to this is Secret Wars, its own spinoff.
Right.
And Sky can bounce both ways. I mean, no big deal. But according to the article, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be getting a slight retool next season, making it more about superheroes. Okay. Possibly deal with that. Following closely to the events of the second season, Marvel announced that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 will be bringing in Secret Warriors from Marvel Comics. I cannot wait to hear the reports from San Diego Comic-Con about this.
Yes.
The critically acclaimed comic series that ran from 2009 to 2011, which I'm going to double check and see if that's available on Marvel Unlimited. Because I just haven't been plugging Marvel Unlimited enough. Browse. Here we go. Secret Warriors. Secret Warriors. And yes, it is. There's quite a few Secret Warriors. I'm going to have to go back and read this now. And then there is a Secret Warriors special. Secret Warriors, Who's Your Daddy? And Siege, Secret Warriors. And then Dark Reign, The List, Secret Warriors. So, quite a few Secret Warrior titles.
Well, looks like I'm going to have to be hitting Marvel Unlimited, too.
Yeah. So the critically acclaimed series that ran from 2009 to 2011 followed a group of superpowered people assembled by S.H.I.E.L.D., S.H.I.E.L.D. leader Nick Fury, to secretly battle threats ranging from a revitalized Hydra to alien invaders. Of course, the MCU, Nick Fury, Sam Jackson, is out as head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and following the events of The Winter Soldier, Coulson now leads the agency, and as an underground strike team on the ABC series. So, but with the finale, we now see that he will also be heading up the effort to recruit superpowered humans. Many elements linked to Secret Warriors have already made their way into the films and into the series, notably the return of Hydra. But also too, you know, season two of S.H.I.E.L.D. also introduced, the Inhumans, or Marvel's Inhumans, and confirmed that Chloe Bennett's character Skye is actually Daisy Johnson, known as Quake in the comics. And in the comics, Johnson is second in command of Secret Orders.
And in essence, as is what you see in the season finale, because no, Coulson gave her the list and told her that she needed to pick her team.
And how much of this is also because the list is going to tie into Civil War?
Oh, every week is going to be insane, I believe.
I think so, because there's no movies to tie in to the second season, except for Civil War near the end.
That's it.
So,
you know. Yeah, I mean, because as we were talking about with Ant-Man, I mean, we were talking about it's going to be interesting what the after credits scenes are going to be.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's no tie. There's no tie.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, Marvel will be sounding the bell for this new storyline during San Diego Comic-Con, which, again, we'll report on it as it happens, or after it happens on the show. And all week long, S.H.I.E.L.D. ambassadors will search the convention for dedicated fans, rewarding them with some of the limited edition Secret Warrior pins.
Oh!
Okay, not fair.
Not fair. Not at all.
All we've got to say is, you know, I don't know about you, but son of a...
Okay. Well, sentiments exactly.
Just to be fair, no, I did not say anything. It's just there for the shock value. More details about what this means for next season will be revealed during the show's official panel Friday, July 10th from 3 to 4:15 in Ballroom 20.
You know, there's something that Barnes & Noble is doing a tie-in with San Diego Comic-Con, because this month is like Geek Month, and so like they're doing something every day.
It's the Geek New Year.
And they're doing some of the Comic-Con exclusives are available at the store. It'll be interesting to see if the Marvel Day is somewhere during Comic-Con and in the store, and if so, I wonder if it's possible to get that Secret Warriors pin there.
I have a funny feeling that's going to be a floor thing only.
Oh.
Especially if you're going to be tapped to get it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jarvis, do you think you can get us a few of those pins?
I don't think he's going to be able to. And chances are...
Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the inevitable.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yep. So, there's also more, I guess, TV side, quote-unquote, news. I guess we put it in TV side as involving Daredevil.
Yes. Regarding Daredevil Season 2. Now, we all know that Punisher is going to figure heavily into Season 2 of Daredevil. The awesome thing is that there is definitely going to be an epic battle, according to DigitalSpy.com. There's going to be an epic battle between Matt Murdock and the Punisher. And as we know, we have John Bernthal is playing the Punisher, and he is entering Hell's Kitchen because with the Kingpin in jail, there's a little bit of a war going on between the different criminal factions. So he's coming in to clean things up because, you know, that's what he does. And in the series, in the season one, we saw that Daredevil promised that he would not kill. And, of course, the Punisher has an issue with this. So, eventually, this is going to lead to a giant battle between Daredevil and Punisher.
Right.
And also mixed in with this is, according to this article, is that we're going to see Bullseye and Elektra. So, this is going to be...
Interesting.
Yeah. So, season two is going to be pretty full. We don't know exactly how far or how big a role Bullseye or Elektra is going to play, but you know, that doesn't, that still makes for a very exciting season two, if everything holds true. Right. I know I'm getting more and more excited about this season two, and I don't even think they haven't even started filming yet.
Yeah, they still got three other shows to get launched as well.
Exactly. Because, well, we have early next year, we will have Jessica Jones.
Yep.
And I'm guessing late next year, we can expect to see Iron Fist.
Or Luke Cage.
Or Luke Cage. Because I don't think they've announced the order of those two yet.
Yeah. So. And they got to be done before 2017, because by the end of 2017, we're going to have the Defenders.
You know, between now and 2017, I think there's going to be I think that we're going to see a lot of new subscriptions for Netflix, and there's going to be there's going to be more binging going on, because I still plan on binging Daredevil again before the fall.
Well, to me, I think with the news of the aftermath of Secret Wars, there's going to be some extra money to do subscriptions to Netflix.
Oh, yes. I mean,
the covers that got released about what titles are coming. Carnage is getting his own book. Venom, Space Knight. Really? I'd rather see Agent Venom.
Yeah.
The Ultimates seems intriguing.
It does.
Web Warriors. Spider-Man 2099. And apparently it's not Miles Morales, because Miles Morales is now in the current universe.
Right. Well, will this be a reboot of the original 2099?
It might be.
Which, I mean, that was a good series. I did enjoy that.
Spider-Woman, pregnant and all.
Hmm.
And that's had people talking lately.
Yeah.
Daredevil. Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this is, yeah. To fight the monsters of the world, we need the monsters of the night. I'm disappointed. I want the regular Howling Commandos. So.
Yeah, I'm not, no.
Amazing Spider-Man number one. New costume and all. And a Spidey car, which looks vaguely familiar to the Tumblr a little bit.
It does.
From Batman. Spider-Man with Miles Morales.
Yep.
Ant-Man.
I read something interesting. They're saying that Ant-Man is going to take more of a, I don't know what they meant by this, but Ant-Man is going to take a more criminal turn in the book. I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that, but.
Okay. Well, apparently he's going to be joining Silk in that criminal underground.
Ah.
Uncanny Avengers, which apparently is going to have like a wraparound cover or two variant covers. And I am not impressed by either one of these.
No.
All new Wolverine. Okay. So it looks like it might be X-23. And cool. Not a problem.
No problem there.
Uncanny X-Men. All new X-Men. Extraordinary X-Men. Cha-ching. New universe created. and it's funny. What was it? Extraordinary X-Men has Old Man Logan.
Yeah, all new X-Men looks like the original team.
It does a little bit. And it's like Extraordinary X-Men is the team in the future. The Geritol years. With the grandkids.
With Old Man Logan there.
Yeah, and Old Man Logan's got his own series. Nova seems interesting. It seems like the father-son, like a father-son approach.
Yeah.
Which, of course, it says the family business.
And then we got Hawkeye number one.
Yep.
And that's already on my pull list.
Now, Karnak? I have no clue who Karnak is.
No, I don't either.
So, okay. New Avengers? No. Not Illuminati. Really? Really? That's all I got to say. Really? Sam Wilson, Captain America. This is almost like another Civil War type book. Now, when you look at it, you know, there's almost like some resentment that we haven't seen in the past.
Right.
Then Star-Lord, and then Guardians of the Galaxy with Venom. A female Star-Lord, Thing, Drax, and a Rocket. Interesting makeup.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch, Miss Marvel, which looks like that one's picking up where it left off. Spider-Gwen, Drax. That series looks good. It shows some promise.
Yeah.
Angela, Asgard's Assassin.
Hmm.
Howard the Duck.
I wonder.
And it just relaunched. Like, it just came back like, 3 months ago, 3-4 months
ago.
Deadpool, he is back from the dead.
As if there was any doubt.
Squadron Supreme.
Hmm.
The Mighty Thor. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Vision, Uncanny Inhumans. This has got my interest. Based on the mobile game Contest of Champions. It's like all of a sudden they're taking their cue from Injustice over at DC.
Yep.
Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, who's going to be written by Jason Aaron.
And this is the Doctor Strange has had in 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. All new, all different Avengers. Then you got A-Force, which has got like every female character in the universe in it.
Yep.
And then totally awesome Hulk.
Frank Cho is the artist in that.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, before we get to our new picks of the week, I'm gonna share a pick from Marvel Unlimited. I think it's a title you should probably check out. Pretty decent Ant-Man Avengers title. It is Ant-Man. It's Avengers issue 223, and it's been titled "Of Robin Hoods and Roustabouts."
Oh,
Hawkeye answers a secret message for help from Marcella Carson, now the owner of the carnival where Clint once performed, and discovers the Enterprise has been taken over by Taskmaster as a mobile recruiting center for his trading academies. I could have sworn I saw a period there. The villain fights Hawkeye to a standstill, then forces his surrender by threatening Marcella. Disarmed, the archer is left to his fate in the cage with an angry lion, but is saved by the arrival of Ant-Man, who had been attending the carnival in civilian guise with his daughter. The two of them team up to defeat and capture the Taskmaster's men when their foe launches an explosive-filled dummy from the cannon used in the Human Cannonball Act. However, the heroes are forced to allow him to escape while they prevent his detonation and save the crowd. So, nice little Ant-Man story before you get into the movie.
And I like that they're teaming them up with Clint.
Yeah, yeah. So, on that note, it is that time of the week again, if I could find it, and that would be New Comic Book Day, and this is going to be for July 8th, right?
Yep. July 8th. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how about you kick it off with what's our first book?
Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos, number 2.
Okay.
As if there was any doubt. Writer is Jerry Duggan, penciler is Salvador Espin, and the cover artist is Riley Brown. Undisputed queen of the monster metropolis, aka Shikla, is out to avenge the death of her brothers. Teamed with Werewolf by Night, Frankenstein's monster, the Living Mummy, Man-Thing, and Marcus the Centaur, she must fight their way through the land of the undead. Speaking of, how does one kill Dracula, king of the undead?
Usually with a steak, medium rare.
Usually.
Well, my first pick is Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier number 10. Its writer is Alice Cott. Into the Void, the climax reaches its climax. Planet Mirzebo under siege. Bucky Barnes times 2, one too many. I think that intern was ready for vacation. Again, I want to share, that Bucky Barnes love. This definitely, if I had the extra, I would definitely be picking up this book. So,
I mean, we did see a title showing up Secret Wars, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen either.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sad that we didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So, your number 2 pick.
My 2 is Old Man Logan, number 3. Having survived his first step in the quest across the realms of Battleworld, Logan has come face to face with the horrors mutant kind can produce. But mutants are not the sole purveyors of horror on this patchwork planet, and Logan's job is far from finished. With his next step, Logan comes face to face with the sins committed by the machines of man.
Okay.
So, I'm liking the Old Man Logan series, and it's good that we'll get to see more more of his adventures, you know, with, you know, post-Secret Wars. And, you know, it's he's an intriguing character anyway, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, my number two pick is Star Wars number 7.
Oh.
A special one-off tale of Ben Kenobi. Hehe.
Oh.
Injustice reigns on Tatooine as villainous scum run rampant. Will Ben risk revealing himself to do what's right? Guest artist Simone Bianchi joins writer Jason Aaron for the special tale. So that's my number two pick.
And it's a one shot.
It is a one shot. Well, it's still in the numbering system, but it's almost like a flashback.
Right. This series, you said, takes place after A New Hope. Is it between A New Hope and Empire?
At the moment, it's between A New Hope and Empire.
Okay.
So it's like right after the destruction of the Death Star. And they just kind of wrapped a great little arc with the first six issues, ending with Boba Fett going to Darth Vader saying he's got the name of the boy who destroyed the Death Star, and it's Skywalker. Oh. And there's a great battle sequence in the beginning of the book as well that's just amazing.
Mm. So you're making me want to go. You're making me want to go back and see if I can. Maybe I'll get the collected editions and, you know, go from there.
So your number three pick for the week,
Ms. Marvel number 17. Artist is Chris Erica, and looks like the intern kind of fell asleep on this one. Let's see. The team up to all team ups has finally arrived. Let's see. Marvel and Captain Marvel Danvers and Kamala Ms. Marvel Khan face the end of the world head on in this epic issue. So, and this is going to be in our house because, well, this is on my wife's pull list. So and she's really liking this book. She's really liking Ms. Marvel. So
cool. Well, yeah. my last pick. There's only one way to put it.
Hello, what have we here?
It is Lando number 1. And the sad part is I had to go and track it somewhere else because it's not on Marvel site. And I know it releases on Wednesday.
You know, and I did. I have to admit, if I had seen that, I so would have snagged it for myself. I didn't see it on the Marvel site.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
Nice.
Stories by Charles Soule. Art by Alex Maleev. You know him. You love him. Now join him for his biggest caper as Master of Charm. Lando Calrissian gets his very own comic. Before he joined the Rebellion, before he ran Cloud City, Lando made his way in the galaxy, getting by on some swindles, some swagger, and a smile. Just watch Rebels. I mean, he's made some great appearance there as well.
Yeah.
Lobot as his side. Okay, this is what I want to know. How did Lobot came about? And isn't it funny how they kind of use the same similar type apparatus on a Rodian in Rebels?
Yeah.
So, yeah. With Lobot at his side, Lando has a plan to steal a very valuable ship, but he has bitten off more than he can chew. Writer Charles Soule and Alex Maleev are bringing us this tale of a scoundrel in his natural element, trouble.
Yeah, this is going to be on my pull list too.
Yeah. And it's some great looking variant covers for this. The normal one looks like he's sitting at a table, and then there's sort of almost like a suave magazine type cover look.
Oh.
And then how can you not forget the action figure variant?
Yes.
And then there's another one that's got him and then a stormtrooper named Numb and Lando in a skiff. In a skiff guard costume. Lando surrounded by troopers. The Scotty Young variant looks amazing.
Hmm.
And then there's a couple more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the swing by the comic shop.
Yep. Hence why we play that song at the beginning.
Yes.
Let's get everyone interested. So, that's going to bring us to a close for this week. Any final thoughts or comments?
Just jazz for Ant-Man and double jazz for Secret Warriors. And I'm going to go read me some comics.
Oh, I have to see what comes out of San Diego Comic-Con. Hopefully, we'll have some more news that we like a tease of what's been happening, because the show will already be 2-3 days in by the time the show airs next week, or next week's episode airs. So we're not going to have a lot of recap news, but we could talk about what's been there, and speculate what has been talked about. So,
and for sure, if we get anything super interesting, maybe we can post it to the Facebook page or on the Weeby Geeks page too.
Exactly. So yeah, this, as we're cracking down to the final days of Geek Year 2015 and getting ready for the new Geek Year, I guess it's Geek Year 2014,
right?
With Geek Year 2015 getting ready to roll. And it's odd that Ant-Man's premiering the same weekend.
Yeah.
Things that make you go, So, if you got nothing else,
I'm good.
Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark. We'll be right back.